The Gospel of Luke, the chapter 13. I had intended preaching the subject advertised, but I feel that I should change my message this morning and preach upon another subject, the message of the Oma Balm. That will be the subject. But first let us read the scriptures. Luke chapter 13, beginning our reading at the verse 1. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig it about and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. Amen. And God will add his blessing to this reading from his infallible word. We want to place on record our sorrow for those who grieve today as a result of that bombing. A grief that we know that, try as I may, I cannot enter into. Some hearts must be broken and shattered into pieces today. We pray for those grieving people. We pray for those who are injured. And we pray against the spirit that moved men to act so, and has moved our government to act in cohorts with them. May God intervene in our land, and may each one of us here today recognize the dark times that are ahead. Many of us can look back some 11 years now to Enniskillen, when many thought that would end it all. But we have learned that far from ending it, it only opens up a new chapter of darker deeds. Following the news of the bombing, I contacted all the Free Presbyterian ministers in the area, in the county, and I issued a statement in their name on behalf of all our congregations, and I think it appropriate if I just simply read that statement to you. It reads, As ministers of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, we offer our heartfelt sympathy to all those who sorrow and grieve over the loss of loved ones, and all those who are suffering from injuries inflicted by the cruel and wicked act of Republican murderers in our county town of Oma today. May the God of all mercy draw near to the brokenhearted and touch the broken bodies of those injured in hospital. We condemn the murderous action of those who planted the bomb and who planned the maximizing of the slaughter by deliberately misleading the security forces as to the location of the bomb, and thus ensuring that many had gathered in the area of the explosion. Such cunning displays a satanic cruelty, unmatched in the long period of Ulster's terrorist trouble. We accuse our government, and in particular the Prime Minister Tony Blair, and the Northern Ireland Secretary of State Mo Molan, of pursuing a policy in Northern Ireland that has encouraged this atrocity, and the many others that have gone before, by seeking to placate terrorism through immoral concessions, such as the present early release of convicted terrorists. Yesterday's murderous monsters have become today's ministers in waiting. We have already heard words of condemnation from the lips of those politicians who favor the release of convicted murderers and bombers, that are but an echo of the words employed to condemn the actions of those terrorists they are now determined to release. Let the people of Ulster remember that, had this bombing taken place 2 or 3 years ago, the perpetrators of today's atrocity in Oma, if they had been convicted and jailed, would now be on the list of Republicans due for release under the terms of the peace agreement. The politicians who have supported the present policy of appeasement that underlies the peace agreement cannot escape having blood on their hands today, after today's evil. We would earnestly seek to warn the Protestant people not to be swept further from the teaching of the Bible by the wave of ecumenical propaganda that has already begun in the wake of the bombing. Surely by now we must see that more of the same evil medicine that has brought such depravity onto our streets cannot possibly cure it. For over 30 years, we have been told that the abandonment of the biblical creeds of the Protestant Reformation is the way forward to harmony and peace. Rather, it has been the way that has led our province into judgment. A return to God's Word, rather than greater abandonment of it, is the way to peace and safety. We call on all who love Christ in truth to humble themselves before God and pray for a spiritual awakening to be granted to this land. Perhaps, as the afflictions wrought upon the Israelites by the Midianites prompted repentance and a seeking of God, and ultimately a return to obedience by Israel with its consequent blessings for the nation, the evil of this day's tragedy will bring home to us all the need for a seeking of God with the whole heart. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. That's the end of the statement. We just trust that God will be pleased to have it circulate through the media. For only the Lord will see to it that it circulates. The men of today will seek rather to suppress it. May God speak to us all in these evil times.
O God, we pray that Thou wilt be near to us now. Overshadow this gathering, O God. O God, our sentiments may have been stirred by the news, but that is not enough to work in us a lasting spiritual impression. Lord, we pray that by Thy grace Thou wilt move the Sabbath day. By Thy Holy Spirit, O God, take a dealing with our hearts and generate a lasting impression within our souls. Begin a good work, Lord, a work that is of Thy hand and power. O help me to preach, O God. We commit ourselves now to Thee. Fill me with the Holy Ghost, I pray, and bless me. And through me, Lord, as I preach, for this is Thy chosen means, we claim nothing for ourselves, but rather, O God, we but pray for Thy blessing upon that order, that means which Thou hast ordained. Bless this people. Speak to sinners for Christ's sake. Amen. Luke chapter 13, the portion of Scripture that we read, and I want just to spend literally a few minutes thinking upon the subject, the message of the Oma bombing. We have seen, of course, many similar tragedies in this land of ours, though I think that none have been so dark and so wicked, nor resulted in so much human suffering as this particular bombing. There are many things that we could spend our time profitably upon, meditating upon the clear matters that this bombing brings before us. But there's one particular thing I want us to notice today. And I want to base what I have to say upon the Savior's words here in chapter 13. We are told in the verse 1 that there were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifice. Political action resulting in tragic loss of life is nothing new amongst men. And the loss of life in Oma can be very much traced to evil political action. Let that be noted. In many ways, our province is reaping what it sowed. The news reports yesterday recorded how some said, I voted yes, but if I had to do it now. My dear friend, that's the story of eternity. That's the story of eternity. It is my task as a minister of the gospel to ever seek to bring before this congregation, as long as I am minister of it, the solemn reality of eternity. It is not my task. To gloss over, to tone down a tragedy such as that which took place in Oma yesterday. Oh, men and women, without making any direct reference to any who lost their life yesterday, for I don't know personally, as far as I understand, the full list of those who did lose their lives has not yet been issued. And we're all very much relying on reports that come to us. Sometimes they contradict themselves. But as far as I know, I am not personally acquainted with anyone who was killed. And I want to underline that. I don't want it to be understood that I'm making a comment that has particular reference to any individual who was wickedly and cruelly cut off yesterday. But men and women, I have no doubt that amongst those who were slain, maybe indeed all of them, I don't know, there were at least some anyway, who left the street of Omagh and went out into a Christless hell. A Christless hell. And there were many in Omagh spared that had they been killed, they would have gone out into a Christless hell. We need to learn the lesson that eternity is but a breath away, and we know it not. Here are the disciples of the Lord Jesus. What are they discussing? They're discussing a tragedy. They're discussing a politically motivated tragedy in that land of Israel, so torn by trouble. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. What did you think of that? They said. What's your opinion of that? Have you any comment to make on Pilate? Oh, the Lord had his thoughts about Pilate. The Lord had his thoughts about the cruelty of the deed. The Lord, who is the judge of all the earth, had his views. But that was not the time for him to share them with his disciples. Instead, he drew their attention to something else. He said in answering them, verse 2, suppose ye that these Galileans that were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things, I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. This is what he wanted to draw their attention to. Not so much the political ramifications of what had taken place, but he wanted to apply this event to each individual there. The application of it was, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Oh, he didn't mean perish at the hands of soldiers. Not likewise in that sense. But perish suddenly and swiftly and go out to a Christless eternity. That's the message today of Omagh. That's the message of Omagh. Death may not come so dramatically, so dreadfully to you, but come it will. And except you repent, they'll perish. The Saviour then went on to say, verse 4, are those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? You see, the Saviour not only knew about that which his disciples were telling him about, but you'll see how he had also in his mind another tragedy. There is nothing hidden from the eyes of the Lord. There's nothing secret to him. He saw the tragic events when the Galileans were slain by Pilate, but he also took note of that tragedy when the tower that some must have been building fell and it killed 18. You know, there's nothing that happens on the face of the earth but God knows about it. God knows about it. The Lord knew about this, and they said the same. The lesson of that incident, it wasn't political. It may have been the result of someone's carelessness. We don't know. But the lesson from that is just the same, except ye repent, you shall all likewise perish. There are three things I want to quickly present to you. I want you to notice, first of all, the wrong supposition that many draw from a tragedy. That's the first thing. The Savior says, suppose ye. Is this what you're thinking? Suppose ye that those Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things. That's what happens amongst men when trouble comes a-calling. Those who observe the event say, those people must have done something especially wicked to have had this trouble visited upon them. The Lord Jesus says, not so, not so. I think man likes to take cover in this. In his pride at work, of course. That pride that is to be found in every human breast and causes us to say of ourselves, I am not the good man. And when these Galileans met with this tragic death at the hands of Pilate and the soldiers, those who were not involved said they must have done something special, that God's wrath fell upon them in this manner. You're wrong, says the Lord Jesus. You're wrong. And we need to recognize that those who perished in the bombing yesterday in Omagh were not picked out by divine decree because they were especially wicked, I would not be surprised. In fact, I could put it in the reverse and say, I will be surprised if amongst the dead there is not found to be believers. Remember, in Enniskillen there were many Christians who were done to death by that IRA bomb in 1987. No, this event is not an evidence of swift destruction coming upon those who were especially wicked. The Savior indicates that such events should not be understood in this fashion. Then the second thing I want you to notice is that trouble can come upon any without real warning. That's the lesson we need to take note of. Oh, people supposed, oh, how wrong man is in his religious and spiritual thinking, because he's basing it upon those things that he supposes. There's some of you here today, and you take your religion not from the Bible. You take it from your own supposing. You do. The most important decision that you have ever taken in your life, you have based it not upon the Bible, but upon your own supposing. You have deliberately rejected the teaching of the Word of God, and you have gone on the strength of your own supposing. God has called upon you to repent. He's called upon you to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He has warned you that you know not what a day will bring forth. But you have supposed that that will not be so with you. You have supposed that you can turn your back on Christ. You can ignore the Word of God, and nothing ill will happen to you. My friend, you are on shaky ground today. You've built your hopes of peace and eternal joy. You've built the well-being of your soul upon the sandy foundation of what you suppose. Of what you suppose. For as in truth, men and women, any one of us, and let me say this, the sweetest little innocent babe in the gathering is included in what I'm saying. Any one of us could be visited by swift death at any time. Shut your ears to it if you will. Strive to keep this truth out of your mind if you will. But it nevertheless is true. Amongst those who perished yesterday in Oma was an 18-month-old child. 18 months old. Doubtless before too long we'll see pictures of the little one. Who would have thought? That day when its mother cradled it in her arms for the first time, it had only 18 months to live, and its life would end in such dreadful circumstances. The Savior here is talking about Galileans who were at worship. Pilate mingled their blood with the blood of their sacrifices. They were worshipping when death came. I don't know the circumstances of it. I'm not sure that anybody does, other than what is told us here. But I think it right to say that here were a people at worship when suddenly death came. We just never know, men and women. We just never know when death may be visited upon us. And in that case, all of us should live with eternity in view. You know, the man of God so often in his preaching contradicts the thinking of some of those to whom he is preaching. His views clash with their views. He seems to be requiring of them that they turn from everything they delight in. That which to them is a pleasure. That which they so gladly embrace. The preacher seems to be saying to give it up and turn away from it. His message is so contradictory to what they deem to be pleasurable in life. They weary of his preaching. And men and women, all I'm saying to you is, get your priorities right. Seek first the kingdom of God. Remember in all the things that you do that you're not here forever. That you will pass out into eternity. And it could come just as suddenly as death came to these Galileans or to those who perished in Oma yesterday. Be it for good or be it for ill, I have a lively imagination. And it takes no effort on my part to mingle myself amongst that crowd seconds before the bomb went off. I can see those who, being out of work, deemed this a great thing. They had an hour extra. It probably will turn out to be a hoax, they said. They had time to laugh and chatter idly. They had the perfect excuse just to stand around the street of Oma. I'm sure many were thinking that. There was a smile on many's and many's a face, as many as a young man was talking to a young lassie, and then Baum went off. I tell you, men and women, the Saviour says, in what he is here preaching and teaching from, he is saying to them, death can come so swiftly, so unexpectedly. We need to live with eternity in view. That's why James tells us that when we're planning something tomorrow, we don't just say, tomorrow I'm going to do such and such a thing, but rather that we say, tomorrow, if God wills, that as we draw up a plan, it's not that the plans were wrong. It's not that we shouldn't do what we plan tomorrow, but plan tomorrow with the view that it might never come. That's what the Bible is saying. A preacher is not saying that of necessity everything you're doing you shouldn't do it. But he's saying what you do, do it with an understanding it might never come to pass. And if you do it with that understanding, you might say, well, if tomorrow is truly eternity just hidden from my view, there's more important things for me to attend to than that frivolous thing I was going to do tomorrow. Men and women, there are some, I'm sure, who perished in that bombing. And if they had to do it now, they wouldn't have spent Friday night in the pub. They wouldn't have spent last Lord's Day ignoring an opportunity of hearing the gospel preached in the number of places in Omagh that it can be heard. Do you see what I'm saying? Let us live with a solemn truth ever in view that eternity is drawing near to us, and maybe nearer than we think. I say to you now, I might not stand in this pulpit next Lord's Day. I might not. Is it any wonder then that we seek to try and heed what the old Puritan preacher said a long time ago, that the preacher should be one who preaches as a dying man to dying men and women? Because it's not just a solemn fact that I might not stand in this pulpit next Lord's Day. But if I do stand in this pulpit next Lord's Day, your seat may well be empty. And in our little bulletin that we put out, we have a word of sympathy for your family, because you have been taken by the hand of Providence into eternity. That's the lesson of Omagh. That's the lesson of Omagh. But look at what the Saviour above all seeks to drive home upon the hearts of those to whom he was speaking. Suppose ye, the wrong supposition that many jumped to, that those Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things, I tell you nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. The great need of the hour, men and women, the great sum and substance of the gospel call is repent, repent. That's what the Saviour says here. The one thing that men and women need to do, repent. That is the sum and the substance of the gospel. That's the gospel in a word. I think it was Martin Luther that said that John 3:16 was the gospel in a nutshell. Well, here is it even rendered to a smaller likeness. Here is the gospel in one word, repent. You know that the word repent means to turn right round. Forsaking the path you're on, turn right round and go in the opposite direction. That's what the grace of God works in the lives of men and women. And that's what needs to take place. And we need to attend to it immediately. For we don't know what a day may bring forth. Oh, men and women, young people in particular. You know, when you have lived through a few things like Enniskillen and Omagh, it tends to have a greater impact upon you than those who are hearing of these things for the first time. The young people in our gathering most likely will cast off the impressions of yesterday's events. In fact, there are some too young even to understand what it is we're talking about. Even they can understand our words, but the impact of what took place yesterday in Omagh is unknown to them. But the older ones here, they have seen something of this. They know the brokenness. They know the tragedy, they know the sorrow, they know the grief. They have seen those who survived it, an incident like this. They have seen them 10 years, 20 years later. They have seen the years of agony and pain and suffering that they have gone through. And consequently, the events of yesterday will live on with older members here. They'll not lose the impression quite so quickly as the young. But oh, young people, may it please God to impress your heart today that you need to repent. But if you don't repent, then you will perish. You will perish. For that what takes place when you die in your sins and meet with God's judgment, you perish. Oh, in these dreadful days, may the gospel go forth with power. May God strengthen his servants to preach. And may the Holy Spirit be pleased to take up the word and apply it to heart. I say to you, young man, I say to you, young woman today, you learn from the words of the Savior in the light of what happened yesterday. Repent of your sins and call upon God while you may. Let us bow in prayer. O God, our Heavenly Father, be pleased to bless these few stumbling words to all who are here. May all of us, Lord, without the necessity of a tragedy like Oma, live with eternity in view. O God, our Heavenly Father, the message of the onward march of death is all around us, in the falling of the leaf, in the tombstone-marked hillside of the graveyard, in the faltering steps of the aged, in our own declining weakness. O God, make us all to know we're creatures of time, and only Christ can fit us for eternity. Lord, answer prayer today, remembering especially those broken-hearted ones. O God, comfort the injured, and may there be those who will live to bless God for this day of tragedy, for it turned them to Christ. Answer prayer, for Jesus' sake.
Amen.